Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnants of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolation I will lead them back. I will let them walk by the brooks of water, and straight and in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraimiah, my firstborn. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. So usually at this moment, I would call our children to sit here, but we all get to participate in this children's homily this morning. I did talk to the Nevises this week, taking communion over there. They have a transportation issue. And I said, well, there's probably plenty of people at St. Thaddeus who'd be willing to come and get you. So we're working that out. But somehow we're going to work it out so that those kids are here when I'm here. They seem to be here when I'm not here. So you all get to be subjected to the children's homily. So when I say the word calendar to you, is this usually what you think of? Yeah. This seems to be a calendar right here. My calendar has all of Casey's stuff on there too. So it's gotten extra complicated. That's one of the joys of being married. Your calendar gets extra complicated. The church has a different kind of calendar. And I got to be careful with this one because has anybody ever seen a calendar that looks like this one? So this is the church calendar. And somebody tell me what the difference between this calendar and the other calendar is. This one has seasons, right? Yeah. It looks like a clock. It's round. Yep. Yes, it has hands like a clock. That's correct. What else? and there's no words here. Man, I've never noticed that difference, but that one's an important one, and somehow I'm going to work that in somehow. There's no numbers here. Yeah. Take that, Bishop, who was always asking me how many people were at church. All right. So there are three great times, and that's why there's three hands. The first great time is Easter, which is here. And the second great time is Christmas, which is here. And the third great time is Pentecost, which is here. It's red. It's the only red day on the calendar here. And you're supposed to be able to keep it there, but this doesn't work with gravity, so when I let go of it, it just, yeah. So this has everything that we need in terms of our church year. So we start with Advent, we move to Christmas, and Christmas usually has two Sundays, and then there's the time after Epiphany. Epiphany is that famous word, that fancy word that means, how is it that this person who is also Jesus, who's also God, is also man, that has to be epiphany to us. Do you know that the word epiphany and the word cellophane, they share a Greek root? So like when you cover something with cellophane and put it in your refrigerator and you look at it later and you're like, oh, that's what that is. It's the same thing. That's what epiphany is supposed to do. You're supposed to be able to look at it and say, oh, that's what that is. That's what epiphany does for you. So after epiphany, there's the regular time after Epiphany, which is green. And then there's Lent. And then there's Easter. And then there's the Sundays after Easter. I always point out to kiddos that there are more Sundays after Easter than there are in Lent, than there are in Christmas. And the reason that there are more Sundays in the season of Easter, let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The reason that there are so many Sundays in Easter is because Easter is the biggest mystery, and it takes the most time to put cellophane over and figure out. It is the hardest mystery to figure out. And then there's Pentecost, and I always like to go, ooh, that's hot. Ooh, it's really hot. And the kids are always like, it's not really hot. They're never fooled by that. But that's the day of fire. And then there's this boring green time, which we are in right now, right? Seems like we're there forever, right? And we call this the great growing seasons. And I remind them that when we start, you know, everything gets new. There's a new school year, new teachers, new classes. And then the day gets shorter and darker and shorter and darker. I bet now when you get up in the morning, when I get up in the morning and drive to church, it's dark and foggy out. Versus like 3 months ago, it's bright as can be, right? So the days are changing and slowly the white light wanes until it seems like the light's going to go out. And that's when Advent starts, right? And everything starts all over again, which will happen to us. That will start in several weeks. So the reason that the church calendar is a circle and the reason that things get colder and warmer in the church year is because it doesn't end. It keeps going. And going, and going, right? Time in the church year is not a line. It doesn't have a beginning and an end. It's infinite. And so we know that the promises that God made here on Christmas, and the promises that God made here on Easter, and the promises that God made here on Pentecost are true here in the season after Pentecost, and are true over and over and over again. Okay, that's my children's sermon. And as a bonus for having to sit through that children's sermon, I brought Halloween candy. So I need you to raise your hand if you want Halloween candy. All right. So you're going to like it when the kids aren't here because you get all the treats that they were going to get. Yeah. Oh, one says no. Any candy over here? Judy's definitely taking some candy. Reese's. Yes. It says a lot about you what candy you pick, and I'm keeping a mental note. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Oh, he's trading. Okay, that's good. Yeah, you can trade candy after the service. Oh, yeah, definitely need Andy up here. Look how Andy's looking at me. He's not going to let me forget. Okay.
The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. It is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from the sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priest, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later through the law, appointed a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples, they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Blind Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, sprang up, came to Jesus. Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So Casey and I have been talking about baptizing our heathen son. And there's some challenges that have been presented to us in the conversation around baptism. Maybe first or most foremost of the challenges is where do you baptize that baby, right? It's getting cold, and so unless we want them to be a heathen on into the summer, we can't throw them in the lake or something. We love both these sanctuaries, both Alden's and St. Thaddeus Sanctuary. But for, I think, obvious reasons, we don't want to pick one of those over the other. And so then we're thinking about, okay, which sanctuary has meaning for us and as a couple? And so we're trying to figure that out. And at the same time, Casey, you don't know this about her. Maybe you do know this about her. Casey went to divinity school. She knows way more about that stuff than me, but somehow I got the job here as priest. Casey grew up Catholic and went to divinity school and has a lot of divinity friends who are pastors in a whole multitude of denominations, from Mennonite to Methodist to Catholic to all the things in between. So she has a lot of friends who are pastors. I have a lot of friends who are pastors. So, and then our family are spread across Knoxville and Cincinnati and way out there in South Bend, Indiana. That's where her sister is. Anyway, trying to figure out how to get people together and when to do this and who's going to be in the room and how we're going to do it. Simon, it's not that bad. Every time I start preaching, he's like, "Dad is just ruining it." So that's forced me to think about baptism, and if questions like this, like where you get baptized, was even a problem, like among the earliest Christians, I mean, certainly not, right? Like that was, everybody knew where you're going to get baptized. Though I will say there were these weird fights about, like, do unbaptized people have to sit behind this weird screen in the sanctuary before they can get communion or before they're baptized? Or do we immerse these people in water, or do we just sprinkle them with water? That was a big fight. What are we doing at baptism? Are we casting out demons? What is it? You know, there's a rite in the 16th century, a baptismal rite that I read in seminary, where the priest, when he baptizes the baby, he looks to his left and spits. He's spitting on the devil. I'm not kidding. This was a real thing. Imagine that in the time of COVID, right? There's no spitting anymore. Don't worry. If you come to Simon's baptism, I'm not going to spit. Nobody's going to do any spitting. So these are But I went back and I looked at some of my old documents about baptism, and as I was thinking about this in seminary, and so I thought, well, maybe there's something I can climb onto. And I read this thing. I wrote a paper about baptism in seminary, and there's this beautiful practice from the 2nd through the 4th century where you would get baptized in the nude. So you would take off your cloak, your clothes, and you would head into the water, and you didn't know what was going on. I mean, nobody knew anything about, like, it wasn't like there were a ton of people to ask, what was it like when you got baptized? And you weren't a baby, so you cared. You were wondering about what's going to happen here. And you'd probably been read the story from Mark about who this person Jesus was, and you're asking your question, do I really believe this? Is this somebody I want to follow? Do I want to sacrifice my life in this way? Is this something I really want to get on board with? There's a lot of like pressure and persecution about not being a Christian. And so what is it that I'm going to do? And so maybe it's under the veil of darkness that this happened, usually at the Easter vigil in the middle of the night, that this would happen. And then the priest or the deacon would take you into the water. And the Apostles' Creed that we read in morning prayer, when you do morning prayer, that Apostles' Creed, that is the most baptismal, that is the oldest baptismal document that we have that survives in the prayer book. That creedal statement was read as people were being baptized. So they would ask a question, like the deacon would ask a question, do you believe in God the Father? And before you could answer, he would throw you under the water. Can you imagine it? And then you would come up sputtering and probably choking a little bit. And then you have to answer, right? And then he would say, do you believe in God the Son? And I don't know if you were expecting it at that time, but you're like, oh man. And then by the third time with the Holy Spirit, you're like, okay. Twice fool me, I'm the idiot. Three times you something. Anyway, so the third time you probably got it, and then you went under the water, and it was this new process. It was this new thing. You came up out of the water, and that was to symbolize all manner of things: rebirth, coming out of the waters of birth, into the waters of chaos, into the ordered world that God has, good world that God has created to us. Or it's the washing away of the old self, embracing the new self, all these things. But one of the most beautiful symbols that I think is they would then cloak you in a new garment, and as you came forward, people would run up and kiss your feet or kiss the ground before your feet. And the reason that people did that was because they believed in their hearts that when this person was baptized, that a newly minted Jesus Christ was right there in front of them, that this person was the most pure of all, this person was the most close to Christ because they're just coming out of the baptismal waters. And so it would be like coming up to kiss the feet of Christ. I think something like that is going on with blind Bartimaeus. I was talking to Lloyd and Gretchen yesterday out there in the food pantry. We're out there doing the food pantry and wondering why it is that Bartimaeus would throw his cloak off. So what you need to know about Mark is that he doesn't put anything in there by accident. He's not just throwing random details. That's a Matthew thing. Mark doesn't do that. Mark, everything that is in there is on purpose. Even if it's clumsy, it's on purpose. He's put it there for a reason. Like there's this weird thing in Mark where this kid, sort of related to our passage now, where this young man, Jesus is getting arrested, and this young man is with Jesus, and he runs away, and the guard grabs him. Do y'all remember this from Mark? And he runs away, and he leaves his clothes, and he runs away naked. That's in Mark. You're like, no, it's not. Look it up, people. It's in there. He runs away naked, and then later, in the tomb of the resurrection, in Mark's account, it's not explicitly an angel that's sitting there. It's a young man clothed in a new garment, a baptismal garment, that is announcing to Mary and the other women that Jesus has been resurrected and can't be found here. There's something about, in Mark, about casting off your clothes. And Mark was written in a time when this baptismal practice was going on. So I think something's going on. So blind Bartimaeus is there. Jesus is moving in and out. He is on the move. That's Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, on the move. And he has come into Jericho. And if you are a first or second or third century reader, you probably would have a better idea of what Mark means when he says Jesus came into Jericho. So if you notice, there's this weird thing in the passage where Jesus, it's like Jericho could totally be left out of this thing and you get everything that you need. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. Next sentence, as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. What happened in Jericho? It's like, there's something missing here. Where's Jericho at? Jericho is the whole point. Jericho was the place that you went before you went to Jerusalem. It was the staging ground. It's where you got ready. You settled up there. There was water there. There was a place to stay. You got ready as a faithful Jew to enter into the holy city. You made sure you were ritually clean. If you were giving a sacrifice or an animal, you made sure you had all the things that you needed to take into the holy city. Jericho was the staging ground. So when the gospel tells us Jesus and his disciples came into Jericho, we know where Jesus is heading. And as you good, faithful folks have been here the last three Sundays, know that Jesus told his disciples just two Sundays ago, when we get to Jerusalem, some bad stuff is going to go down. That's Robert's paraphrase. That's not what Jesus said. Some bad stuff is going to go down in Jerusalem. And then the next Sunday, like literally five verses later, James and John are like, hey, when you're king and rock star, can we sit on your left and on your right, right? And remember what the language there. John and James, they come to Jesus, and Jesus says to them, what is it that you want me to do for you? Can we sit one at your left, one at your right in your glory? Bartimaeus comes to Jesus. Jesus says, what is it that I can do for you? Same question. Jesus, I want to see again. I want my sight. Both these disciples, and I think Mark is putting both these folks in our purview for a reason. Both these disciples follow Jesus to death and shame and then into resurrection. Both Bartimaeus and James and John. All of us come to Jesus and this following on the way from these different places in our own lives. Sometimes we have to surrender our own glory. Sometimes we have to be healed and get our sight back. But we're all following Jesus on this path. When I was doing college ministry at UTC, the college students wanted to do this thing. They wanted to make burritos and hand them out to homeless people. And so we did that. We made burritos and we wrapped them in aluminum foil and we put them in a wagon. One of the college students had a wagon. We put them in the wagon. We rolled that wagon around campus, and we made 25 burritos. So this thing evolved. We started doing this every Monday, and by the end of it, we had two wagons, a bunch of water, and we made 150 hot dogs. We found out that hot dogs are easier to make than burritos, just in case you need to know. And so we would wrap up the hot dogs. One time we encountered a guy. This is totally an aside. This is bonus material that you're getting right now. One time we encountered this guy who was Muslim and said he couldn't eat pork. And so after that, we would always have a pork-free version of the hot dog. I don't know if we ever encountered that guy again, but just in case, we had the hot dogs that he could eat if we ran into him again. But we got up to the point when I was there that we were making like 200 hot dogs. And we'd start at Christ Church downtown, and we'd make a circle around sort of to the community kitchen and then all the way down to the library. I mean, we'd spend hours out there, and from the library, we would go over to what used to be Miller Park, which is now, I don't know. Yeah, Miller Park, you know, the park downtown that used to, they've renovated it now. It used to go down into the, and there was a water feature there, and this is where poor people hung out. And I can be snarky and say Mayor Burke didn't want that, and so he got rid of all the poor people and put a new park there, and now there's a new park there. So there was a park. You would go down into that, and you encounter people there and hand them hot dogs. And then we would go from the park to Patton Towers. And, of course, sitting outside of Patton Towers, there were a lot of folks. And that we'd usually be giving the last of the hot dogs away at Patton Towers, and then we'd make our way back to Christ Church, right? And it was rare that we would run out of hot dogs. We usually had some left over. But every once in a while, we were telling people, sorry, we're out of hot dogs. All we have to offer is prayer. And those were the special moments. And one of those moments, we're at Patton Towers. We're giving away our last hot dogs. And this woman comes running out the front door of Patton Towers. And she comes over and she goes, are you the hot dog people? And never in my life did I think as a priest I'd be referred to as the hot dog person. But there I was, stand guilty as charged, hot dog person. And she says, there's some people up in Patton Towers. They want to meet you. And so then we had this moment of, okay, who's going to go up in the Patton Towers, right? And so about four of us, brave, the rest of us head on. We didn't have any more hot dogs. We get in an elevator with this person. We go up, and we're meeting people in the hallway. So Patton Towers, that used to be a hotel, right? So it still looks like a hotel. You walk down the highway, and there's just the same door over and over and over again. And we're walking down this hallway, and people are out coming out to greet us and meet us, and we're talking to folks. And one person says, oh, you got to meet Mama Jay. Okay. So we walk into this room. Mama Jay is sitting in an armchair. There's a TV behind her that's off. There's these fake plastic plants that's there. She says, are you the young people that are always giving food to folks here? And they say, yeah, we're the young people. And one of us said, we're so sorry. We're all out of hot dogs. We don't have any hot dogs. And Mama Jay said, you know, I've not been able to leave this room for the last 7 months because of my diabetes. I'm going blind and I can't really see. But I heard about you. I heard that you were down there and I had to meet you. And she also said, and sometimes I leave this out of the story, but I think it's important. She also said, I'm going to have to leave this room soon because the bed bugs are getting so bad here in Patton Towers. These are the conditions that folks are living in our city here in Chattanooga. And we were just so sorry that we did not have hot dogs for this woman. And she said, I don't want any hot dogs. I just want to pray with you. And we said, okay. And so I stepped forward, the priest, not to proclaim my place as not the hot dog guy, but as the priest, right? So I'm going to pray. And she interrupts me, and she starts praying, right? And she slowly gets up, she stands, and she's reaching out for hands, and so we grab her, and we're standing in the circle, and we pray with her. And here this woman is living in the midst of bed bugs, going blind because of her diabetes, praying and thanksgiving for us. And I think if anybody gained their sight in that prayer, it was me, right? Bartimaeus comes up to Jesus. What can I do for you? Jesus, I want to see again. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak. I've always wondered why. Why does Bartimaeus throw off his cloak? If you go and read the commentarians, they're all like, well, you know, cloaks were thrown out in front of people and that's how they collected alms. So maybe he was putting that life aside. There's hundreds of reasons that Bartimaeus could have given off his cloak. But I think it's a baptism thing. I think Bartimaeus is becoming a new person in that encounter with Jesus. I think he's throwing off the old part and embracing the new part. That's what I think Bartimaeus is doing. And I think there's vulnerability in throwing off our cloaks. I think there's vulnerability in just being the hot dog person instead of the priest in that moment, right? There's vulnerability. And that vulnerability, those encounters, will change our lives. So Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? And here we stand at St. Thaddeus Episcopal Church. Jesus is asking us all these years later, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And we can choose to ask one of two questions, right? Jesus, can we sit on your glory? Can we sit in glory with you? That's one question. If we ask that question, that doesn't mean we're bad people. That means we're just like James and John. We're normal folks. And we will ask that question we will answer that question that Jesus asked in that way. Can we sit with you in your glory? Because that's a very natural way to be. And if we answer that question this way or the way that Bartimaeus did it, it still doesn't mean that we don't get to follow Jesus on the path to the cross, right? But what if Jesus asked us at Little St. Thaddeus Episcopal Church, what can I do for you? Jesus, we want to see again. Amen. Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please continue to stand or kneel as you are able as we pray for the church and for the world.
Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all those who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who have suffered from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest,
let light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray for Jim,
J.R., and Courtney, Pat, John, Gail, Priscilla, Gray, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Somerset, David, Xavier, Gay, Becky, Alexander, Kelly, Terry, Kitten, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline, John, and Jenny, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, Debbie, the Trent Johnson family, Cindy, Eddie, Amy, Lori, Eric. Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will, and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask. Grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you for reading God's peace. Peace choir, God's peace, peace, peace. Turns out we have a friend in common, Bob Marston.
So I am. So I saw a director with that. Patricia Hartman used to go to here. I used to wait on her. Big River. And her daughter was Kelly and Ann. Anyway.
They're my second, third daughter.
I know. I reached out and they said, well, Bob's over there. I sure did. That's peace. So is a baby gone? Baby's taken off. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Just a couple of announcements to share. One is that at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we are doing breakfast as fellowship here at St. Thaddeus. So you don't have to bring anything. You just come and enjoy the breakfast that's here. Next Sunday, we'll do it again at 9 o'clock. If you want to get breakfast and get on Zoom, there's an adult forum, but next Sunday will be the last Sunday of the adult forum, and then I'll be here for breakfast after those Sundays. In addition, Saturday, November the 6th, is the Holly Jolly Market over at St. Albans. So I've been promising them that I would tell you all that you can get holiday gifts at the Holly Jolly Market and come and hang out and have fun with folks. One more announcement is that this coming Wednesday at 6:30, actually I have two more announcements, I'm really sorry. This coming Wednesday at 6:30, the worship team's going to get together via Zoom. And the reason we're going to get together is because several folks from this church and from St. Albans went to Chuck Carpenter's funeral out at St. Francis. And they received communion via a little communion packet that had wine and bread in it, all right? And what's funny about that is several people have approached me and said, we really want to do that. And then several people have approached me and said, we really don't want to do that. And so here I am, but from both churches. So I'm just going to get the worship committee together. We're going to consider it together. If you want to be a part of that conversation, let me know. I'll let you in on the Zoom link. But folks from both churches are going to be there to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Christmas Eve and what Christmas Eve's going to look like in Advent. So the final announcement, and this is a really important one. Chuck Carpenter, who is an extremely gracious person, and my one regret is that I got here to St. Thaddeus after he was unable to come to church here. But I did get to know him. When he died, he bequeathed our church a generous amount of money. And I wanted you to know about that. I'm not going to talk about the terms, but more details will be in the email this week. But I did want you to know that that his estate, he did that. He loved this church to that so much that he was willing to make this. I bet you could help me with this language. He put this aside in his estate that we would have. Yeah. That we have a generous gift from that. And so so the vestry is considering how to take a posture of gratitude towards his family. And so we've talked about that and we're working on that. But just so you know, that gift was given to St. Thaddeus. More details in the upcoming email. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil, made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming, Lord. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One more. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
May God bless you, and may God keep you, may God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you this day and forevermore.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Church, O Lord, and mercy, save us from evil, perfected in thy law, united, cleansed and conformed to thank you.
Let us pray.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go forth into the world to bless and to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.